Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Back at as we get into hour number two of the program. Daniel Guerrero is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Cardinals beat writer with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We'll get his thoughts on what we all saw and heard yesterday at the Hein Bloom press conference. This is the opportunity for you to chime in. We'll kind of split it up. So this segment and then the segment after we talk with Daniel. If you've got thoughts, we'll open up the phone lines, the text message line, tweets, everything. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, or you can leave a comment on the video chat. And I've been wanting to get to this. We finally have. Again, yesterday wasn't really the day for it because we just had so much content from Hein Bloom, but we finally do have time now. So whatever your reactions are to what we heard from Heim yesterday, this is the chance to get in here. I got a couple notes on Jordan Walker. So Verla sent in a message on the video stream, says, still being committed to Walker was the worst thing to come out of the press conference. I am good with the rest of it. And then we got a text message from the 618 that said, I think the plan will be for Walker to spend a whole lot of time in Memphis next year. He only has one option year left, and it's probably not a coincidence that they let him struggle up here all season long instead of sending him down and burning the last option. I don't think they're ready to give up on him, but they had to bite the bullet this year if they wanted flexibility next year. Yeah, so those two kind of interesting points on Walker. And Verlis, this is why you remain committed, like in air quotes. This is why, when I say committed, I mean you don't get him out of the organization. When I say committed, it doesn't mean he has a job on the big league roster next year. This is why you do that. He still has the opportunity, if he ever figures it out, to be a profoundly impactful baseball player. And I know some people just don't want to hear that. Because what we watched this year was a bad baseball player. Jordan Walker had a bad year. And it wasn't just, like, some guys have bad years hitting, but they do other things well. If we're being blunt and honest, Jordan Walker didn't do much of anything well this year. He had periods of time where the at-bats looked better. And that is essentially the nicest thing I can say about the year that Walker had. And I'm not trying to beat up on the guy. I'm not trying to take shots at him. I'm just, the numbers are what the numbers are. He had a terrible offensive season, and he wasn't any good in the outfield defensively, and seemingly he got worse in the outfield as the season went along. So I understand people who just watch the year go along and say, this is somebody that I don't want to see being here. But when you get under the hood a little bit and you see all the parts that could potentially make him a really impactful player, how hard he hits the ball, bat speed, just all that. You can't just like give up on him right now. Now, does that for sure mean that he's ever going to put it all together and he's ever going to be that impactful baseball player? No, doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. But to me, it would be malpractice if you just move on from him right now without giving him every opportunity to turn into that. That doesn't mean it happens at the big league level. I kind of agree with the texter. I think he's earmarked for AAA next year. I think he would have to go above and beyond in spring training to have a job on the Major League roster next year. Let's grab KC, who's given us a call. Hey, KC, you are on a Sports Open line.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing all right.
Matt, I've been a Cardinal fan. I'm 73 years old. I've been a Cardinal fan all my life. In fact, I got a chance to be invited to a Cardinal camp as a player tryout. And when I played ball at Grambling State University, I tore my ACL. So, therefore, my baseball career was pretty much ended back then. But anyway, what I just want to say is that St. Louis fans they've been spoiled. We've been spoiled over the years. We've been given a lot and had a lot of championship, as you can see by all the flags that fly in the stadium. And I said, so we just have to sit back and stop crying like little babies and be a little patient and let this thing work itself out. Yeah, we're going to struggle for a little bit. There's going to be times when we're going to have a little time where it's going to be a little painful. We're going to see some maybe new ball players or some young ball players that's going to struggle a little bit. I wouldn't give up on Walker. Walker's young. You know, he's got to work through some things. But we just got to stop crying out and being like little babies because we've been so blessed over the years that now it's going to be a time when we're going to struggle. There's a lot of teams over the years that don't have it as good as we've had it. So I just want to just tell the St. Louis fans that just chill out a little bit. You know, if this thing will eventually work its way out, yeah, we're not going to go into the playoffs maybe next year or maybe the year after that. But eventually, Bloom is going to get this thing together, and we're going to be back to one of the top teams in the National League, and we're going to be back in the playoffs. But we just got to stop being like little babies and crying all the time when something don't go our way.
All right, Casey, I appreciate the phone call. I do get a little bit uncomfortable with what I've seen so much over the last day where people have said, well, I'm not showing up to the ballpark next year because Oliver Marmol's going to be the manager. Really? Really? Like that's – and that was a cue off of something that Bill DeWitt III said because Bill said – message received in terms of fans not showing up. That got weaponized a little bit yesterday, I think, where people are saying, oh, you received the message? Well, Ollie's back. I'm not going to show up to the ballpark. And that, I don't try to tell fans how to be fans, but I read those messages and I just didn't love them. Chuck has given us a call. Hey, Chuck, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. So I think they received the message, and Chaim Bloom doing everything he's doing is part of the message. And I'm a big Ollie fan. I thought, you know, what he did with what he had to work with, it was magic, man. I mean, he pulled stuff out of those guys when they kept taking, you know, key pieces away from him. He kept finding a way to keep us in the game and keep winning. So I'm a big Ollie fan. I can't wait to see what he does when he has some talent on the roster. That's a good thing. And I'm also stoked about what Chaim Bloom has been able to do in the development stage for our younger players. And I'm curious to see what, you know, that's going to do for Jordan Walker and his development and some of the other young guys we got coming, like J.J. Weatherholt and some of the other, you know, guys that really have potential to come up here and make an impact.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Chuck. And I think you look at, in 1 year of Chaim Bloom overseeing the player development system, the Cardinals have just gone up big time in prospect rankings and organizational rankings from the outlets that cover that. And nobody's winning a World Series because they won minor league organization of the year. I get that. But honestly, it's inexcusable that the Cardinals were not giving young players in the minor league system the instruction and everything else that they need to make them the best version of themselves. And the process of making that happen is already easily in place. We'll grab one more phone call this segment, then we'll get back to phone calls after we talk with Daniel Guerrero. Daryl, I've got just a quick moment for you, but you are on Sports Open Line.
Well, what I have to say will take one full minute and hopefully no more. I'm not on board with people that take a reflexively brainless reaction of no new blood, then I'm not showing up next year. However, I am speaking up on behalf of the quote-unquote geniuses, as Bernie put it, that were screaming at the radio in the numbers of hundreds of thousands when someone puts John King in when we all know that John King was going to blow either the lead or a very close game, scratching your heads going, what the hell is this guy thinking? Now, the good news is he's like La Russa in that he can back up his decisions with data. La Russa backed up his decisions with rationale that we could follow. However, there is still something to be said about metrics being a tool and not the tool. I, and I'm sure plenty of other people, would prefer to have someone at the helm who has actually played the game. Therefore, it's a strike, in my opinion, against Chaim Bloom and Ernie, that Chaim Bloom decided that he didn't even need to have a cup of coffee or even a brief conversation with Skip Schumacher. That is unwarranted arrogance. That is thoughtless.
Are you a Mike Schilt guy?
I liked Mike Schilt. Again, I liked Mike Schilt because of what the sentence I used earlier. He looks at metrics as a tool, not the tool, where Marmol is the press button, the tool is metrics guy.
I would disagree with that. I don't really want to argue that right now. I disagree with that. But the one thing you said was, I mean, Ali had a better professional playing career than Mike Schilt did.
I don't care. I'm looking at Skip Schumacher. It's a very good diversionary tactic on your part. But the fact that
I thought you were taking a shot at Ali for having never played Major League Baseball. That's the way I took that. It's not a diversionary tactic.
I want someone at the helm who's played the game at a high level versus someone who is just who has not.
Okay, and so I get the Skip Schumacher thing, and he was a big league player and a very good big league player. But why does Schilt get the pass and Ali doesn't when it comes to that being such an important thing to you?
Because of what I just said, I don't think Mike Schilt is as reliant on metrics as Marmol was, or is, excuse me.
Okay. You might be right. You might be right. Schilt might not be as reliant as Ali is. I don't know if I would say reliant, but I think Ali goes by his gut more than fans give him credit for, but I also understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to be dismissive of what you're saying, Daryl.
I have no evidence to believe that he has experiential or gut level reactions to certain situations. I think he just backs it up with pure data, and that's a shame to me.
Okay, Daryl, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the conversation as well. Thank you. Okay, we'll get more phone calls like that coming up in a while. 314-436-7900. Just in my conversations with Ali. Man, he's a lot more old school than he gets credit for. He just is. And he's somebody who, you know, coming up in all those years of being in the Cardinals organization, does he try to take every bit of information that's out there and utilize it as a tool? Of course he does. But like the iPad Ali thing, I don't think that's fair. I just don't. But like I always try to be understanding of people who have opposing views of mine. I do understand how people can get on that path and have that belief, even if I think it is incorrect and not true. More phone calls like that, and we'll take some more text messages and tweets after we talk with Daniel Guerrero from Post-Dispatch and STL Today. That's next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Gray Bar Sports Open Line rolls on right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you till about 8 o'clock tonight. The soccer showcase, city showcase. City Spotlight. There we go. I can't remember the name of shows here. City Spotlight's going to be on beginning after the 8 o'clock hour. Jen Cease. We'll talk to her a little bit towards the end of the show. But right now, happy to talk with a guy who covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Yesterday was one of those days where it was cool to be part of kind of the industrial media complex because so much great content came out of yesterday with the Heim Bloom press conference and everything that went along with it and the Post-Dispatch and STL Day right there in the middle of it. Great stuff from them, and hopefully you were able to take it in. Daniel Guerrero, one of the beat writers covering the team. He was at the press conference yesterday. Daniel, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Thanks for the invite.
We'll start broad and kind of narrow in. As you sat through a press conference yesterday and then the print media got some time with Heim later on in the day, what really stuck out to you about yesterday's information that we received from Heim Bloom?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like you had mentioned, it felt really much like a landmark day in the organization just because it's a changing of the guard in the front office, right, where John Mozeliak held that position for, you know, as long as he did, and now Heim Bloom takes over. And I think a lot of it just kind of felt like the start of kind of like this building back to trying to get the Cardinals to where they have been historically. Obviously, there's going to be focus on building this young core and seeing that rise, but also, you know, not conceding, as kind of it was put, you know, not conceding results, you know, in the 2026 season and in the years to come. So I think that definitely felt very much like, okay, kind of this is what fans and us as media should, you know, kind of expect to see from the club. Hearing from a new voice with Heim Bloom, obviously interesting just because we hadn't talked to Heim outside of last year's press conference, right, when they announced the sort of the succession plan for what was to come after the 2025 season. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of it, but a lot of interesting kind of just details on just kind of how the Cardinals will operate in the years to come. Some more info just kind of on how the farm system has developed, some info just kind of on what the approach this offseason might look like with, you know, Bloom's first offseason now that he's the president of baseball ops. So there's a lot to take in, but definitely kind of just felt like this new voice and kind of this new landscape with the organization.
So yesterday he did the press conference, then he did some TV interviews. He talked to some of the rights holders in podcast form. He talked to John Rooney with us. I got the chance for a few minutes. And then later after that, it was my understanding that he spent time with print media. A lot of the stuff that we've read today has come out of that conversation as opposed to the press conference that was on TV and on radio. For folks that kind of, what was that like? Can you kind of explain the dynamic of that conversation that all the writers had with him yesterday?
Yeah, it was just kind of another opportunity for us to kind of expand and kind of touch on some of the other bigger picture topics and kind of things that were talked about in the press conference I was broadcasting, you know, up from the podium. And but yeah, so there was a lot to come out of it. I think there was also kind of a this opportunity to just kind of obviously, you know, it wasn't, you know, one-on-ones, but kind of this group setting where we're also able to kind of get to know a little bit of Heim more so than we already have. So that also was a kind of a great opportunity. I mean, there were, you know, a bunch of different topics touched on. I think, one of the things that kind of stood out, especially with Heim Bloom really helping the Cardinals kind of overhaul their minor league system, which is a lot of what he spent, you know, kind of auditing as an advisor. And we've seen some of those changes now. That was some of the other things that we touched on, right, with kind of how he, you know, feels that, you know, sometimes prospects need, you know, some extra seasoning in AAA and, you know, not having to rush guys. You know, talked a little bit about J.J. Weatherholt and just kind of the promise that he kind of brings to the organization. Talked, you know, a little bit about just kind of how the starting pitching market might shape up in free agency and the Cardinals' approach, because there are openings in the starting rotation. And obviously that would be something up for contention with, you know, some of the young guys pushing for big league roster spots. But also, you know, sometimes you know, might need a kind of a veteran guy to kind of lock down a spot and provide you some stability in that rotation, for a rotation that could look a lot younger than it has this year.
Yeah, he made it very clear yesterday that the decisions they're making are going to be long-term decisions. But if there's a scenario where they trade Sonny Gray away, they're going to need some help in the rotation. Even if they don't, they're mm-hmm. likely to bring in somebody for the short term. How many mm-hmm. short-term moves can they, will they make, knowing that so much of the focus is what's going to happen beyond this upcoming season?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, just because, and I think this kind of goes back to what Bill DeWitt Jr. had mentioned during the press conference, was that in a question in regards to payroll, and that's a little bit unknown at the moment. So, I mean, that definitely kind of shapes up how the Cardinals could approach free agency, just in seeing how much, you know, they'd be willing to spend. Obviously, that's something that, I mean, depending on how the market shakes up, you know, once we get past October and free agency opens up and see which player, which starting pitchers are on the market and what kind of that market's going to command. I mean, that knowing what the payroll is going to look like, that can kind of shape that a ton. But I think the way they might approach it, I think, just kind of depends on how that's going to look for 2026.
Before you were on the major league beat, you did a lot with the minor leagues. You covered the big leagues a little bit, and you still look at the minor leagues now and player development. Mm-hmm. A number of publications, when they did their most recent updated rankings, and a lot of this has to do with J.J. Weatherholt and Liam Doyle, but we've seen the Cardinals' prospect and minor league system rankings move up in a large way. How much credit goes to Heim Bloom for even the infrastructure pieces that were put in this year to allow players to more develop into what maybe they can be, as opposed to the way the Cardinals had been doing it previously?
You know, I think this is a combination of just everybody involved, right? I mean, it's not like it was an entirely new minor league developmental staff from, you know, coaches at each level and coordinators at each level. I mean, there were obviously additions, but, you know, I don't think it was, you know, solely like, okay, you know, it only happened because of this. And that's something that I think it just kind of, it's really a team effort from everybody involved. You know, especially when you have some coaches and kind of coordinators that were, you know, have been around for such a long time. And when you talk to players and coaches, you know, there's always a lot of different moving parts, a lot of different people involved in their development. And as you mentioned, there was that improvement this year. And like you said, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the prominence of J.J. Weatherholt, the inclusion of Liam Doyle now in the system. I think there are a lot of guys who took a lot of steps forward this year. I mean, Leonardo Bernal is one of them, a catching prospect who had spent the entire year in AA and was a key contributor for that club and key in the Texas League playoffs. Another guy, Joshua Baez, comes to mind, Eshawn Henderson, another guy, a couple of breakouts this year. But yeah, but I would say that when it comes to just sort of the improvements there, I really do think it's a team effort with not just with, you know, the changes that Bloom and the people brought in, you know, in this last year have done, but all, it's just an overall, you know, team effort from the system to kind of get it back to what, it, you know, the prominence that it used to have.
He is Daniel Guerrero, covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. It's going to be a really fun offseason, and you can follow along for sure with Daniel and Derek and the great sports columnists like Lynn Worthy and Benjamin Hockman. They just do a great job at the Post-Dispatch. Daniel, we really appreciate you taking some time after a very busy last couple days with press conferences and everything, and hopefully we can check in with you a few times over the course of the offseason.
Yeah, for sure, Matt. Thank you for the invite.
You bet. Thank you. That's Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch joining us on the program. We'll jump back into your comments, your phone calls, all of that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to chime in, you can give us a call or you can text us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment there, and we will address that. Steve sends in a message, says, I don't dislike Oliver Marmol. Just think with Mo gone, it's time for a change. I also don't like him wearing his hat backwards on the Gas House Gang. He isn't a kid anymore. I'm not one to chime in on fashion choices. But here's the thing. Honestly, and there are some people who dislike Oliver Marmol for other reasons, but I'm telling you, there are people who don't like him because he wears a hat backwards. There's people who don't like him because he's not always wearing the jersey, you know, the full uniform in the dugout, or has a hoodie over the top, whatever. Like that exists, and I would indicate that that's not a real reason, but I also appreciate from Steve admitting the bias there and why the bias exists. I also think Steve has the point that is this just a good time for just a clean sweep of changes? Okay, if you want to, that is a legit argument. I disagree with it, but it's a legit argument. I would argue more to the side of, you know what? Let's see what Ollie looks like with a new president of baseball operations who might do things just a little bit differently. Daryl has given us a call. Hey, Daryl, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment on what's going on with everybody else. As Cardinal fans, we're really pissed. And it would have been nice to have the new management come in and make a change. And we could have all say, hey, they're really a new sheriff is in town. Things are changing, and would have given us hope to have something new. We're not asking for a world, you know, the best team out there, but we want to see fun baseball again. And we just not seen that in many years.
Who do you blame for that?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of blame to go around.
So the point that I'm trying to get to here is, I assume what you're saying is you would rather Oliver Marmol not be the manager of this club. Is that kind of the point that you're making?
Well, I would have liked a solid change. You know, we've heard the same thing over and
over.
And we're ready for a change. If we'd saw that change, we would have thought, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. Something's going to happen.
Well, I think there is, and I think we are going to see changes, and I think the big change is going to be Daryl, what would you rather? All the same players but a different manager, or a bunch of new players and the same manager?
And something like something, okay, they've got a new manager. You know, they're going to do something. We're going to see something different. To me, I don't think we felt like we've seen anything different since maybe 2000.
Yeah, I think that's... I appreciate the phone call, Daryl. Your phone's dropping out just a little bit, so I'm going to let you go. I didn't completely hear the answer to his question because his phone dropped out. I would contend that a roster that looks really, really different, that has the same manager, will feel a lot different than a roster that has... Wait, let me start that over. I don't know if I said that correctly. I would contend that a roster that looks very different with the same manager would play out a lot more differently than a roster with the same players but a different manager. There's been a lot of talk today about Skip Schumacher, and Skip may end up with the Texas Rangers managerial position. He already works in the organization. Bruce Bochy left. The Rangers are about to go into a mode that I think the Cardinals have already been in, where they're going to be dropping payroll and they're going to be readjusting to some things. And Schumacher's there. It makes a lot of sense to give it to Skip. He's been a major league manager, did a nice job in Miami with the Marlins. People don't want to hear this. the similarities between Skip Schumacher and Oliver Marmol are incredible. I can be a smart aleck every once in a while. When Skip was managing in Miami, I read a lot of game stories across Major League Baseball. So I wasn't like searching for this. I just happened to read just about every AP game story about every game that happens in Major League Baseball every day, so I can stay up to date with what's going on. And this wouldn't even apply now because AP doesn't use as many quotes as they did previously. But I would read the stories from the Marlins games when Skip was managing, and he would say something that was basically like verbatim something that Ollie would say, that Ollie would take a ton of grief over, and Skip saying the same thing. There may not be two individuals in Major League Baseball when it comes to managers in baseball who are probably more similar than Oliver Marmol and Skip Schumacher. It is uncanny, and they're very good friends. They think the world of each other. Were they 100% aligned? No, and I'm sure that Skip definitely challenged Ollie at times, and that was probably very good for that. But from a broad stroke standpoint of baseball philosophy, Oliver Marmol and Skip Schumacher are basically the same baseball guy, and I always chuckle a little bit when there's all these people that are saying, oh, it's got to be Skip. He's got to be the guy. Let's go to Jeff, who's giving us a call. Hey, Jeff, you are on Sports Open Line.
Good enough. I want to say that this is the first year where I've heard Ollie. I've seen him draw a lot of flack. I found the man to be articulate, intelligent, and empathetic. I think he's a big plus in a ball club. However, if you've got a new man coming in, where I work, we would get new general managers then, and they just say, a new broom sweeps clean. I would like to have seen what Yachty would bring in that he was a catcher and he was really into the subtleties. I don't know if he would have added that much. However, I'm not unhappy with Ollie staying because he seemed to be a good team leader and a big plus. And the folks behind the scenes know a lot better than those of us who are out in the crowd.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know what the future is going to be with Yadier Molina. From a like philosophy standpoint, from a going through the game, Yadier Molina is one of the smartest baseball players who has ever played the game, and that is going to serve him incredibly well if he is ever a major league manager. From a strategy standpoint, the stuff that a manager does control, I think Yadi's going to be great in that area. It's a lot more to being a manager than just managing for 2.5 hours every night, and there's more than just baseball stuff. And I think the question that Yadi's going to have to ask himself if he ever really does pursue a Major League Baseball managerial job is, does he want to do all those other things? I don't totally know the answer to that question. I understand why fans love him so much, rightfully so, but I think there are some questions that still need to be answered. And that's why I said earlier that I think Albert might actually be more suited to be a big league manager. Just because I have no questions about Pujols' ability, not ability, but Pujols' willingness. That's a better word. Pujols' willingness to go meet with the media 4 times a day. And that's essentially one of the many things that a major league manager does beyond managing a game. Frank's giving us a call. Hey, Frank, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm a long-time fan of the Cardinals, season ticket holder. We gave up our group seats, front row, third base dugout. But it wasn't because of the performance. There were other reasons schedule-wise with the group I've got. But I just wanted to take a different perspective, more from a CEO standpoint. The budget is everything. The Cardinals have some major, major challenges. You do a great job. You guys do a great job of marketing the team. I think Heim Bloom will, in the long run, be great. But if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going to build financial models on what happens with the different revenue streams whether it's, you know, the attendance is declining, probably going to go down again. How does that affect, you know, all the advertising revenue, the in-stadium revenue, all these different things. So, but I would throw out another scenario, because the Cardinals really maybe have one guy that could be in the starting five next year. You can argue that all day long. But some teams have five guys that are stronger than our entire starting five. So, and I know Bernie's saying we can't spend money on pitching. It's not the time. But why not build a financial model if you get a one and a two, which will be very expensive and very risky? Pitching in baseball is going to get closer to quarterbacks in the NFL. Anybody with an ERA under three is going to make some real money. So that's just my hope. And I think, you know, one caller earlier said, you know, the fans need hope. And I'm sure they're gonna make one big signing for sure. I don't know, outfielder, first baseman, third base. But the pitching is what this game's always been about. If you go back to the 47 to 63, the pitching was never good enough. Same thing after Gibson left and they got rid of Carlton, unfortunately. 70s to 82, was it? And after, you know, and it, almost every team goes through this.
Yeah, Frank, I appreciate the phone call. I got to get to break here because we're going to be done here in just a few minutes, but really appreciate your thoughts. Pitching's going to be really expensive. Pitching, you're right, and it's not just guys with ERAs below three that are going to get paid. It's guys who have ERAs under four that get big time money. And the Cardinals would be well suited to start developing their starting pitching, because I'm not of the belief that they're going to be able to acquire it. And payroll isn't the total issue here. And I know it's outliers, but the Mets missed the playoffs with $342 million. The Brewers have the best record in the National League with $120 million payroll. The Brewers have a lot of money invested in the infrastructure side of things. Now, it hasn't won them a championship yet, and I don't think it's going to win them a championship this year, but their payroll is not end-all, be-all. And, you know, the Cardinals' payroll this year was more than the Brewers. So it's not that they're not spending enough money. They need to spend money more in a more intelligent kind of way. Last break. Come back. We'll wrap up the show. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up, just a couple minutes left in the program. Good Cardinals conversation. We're tomorrow night, super short show. We have Thursday Night Football, so we'll be done at 6:30, so just 6 to 6:30. But then Friday, we'll pick up this conversation. I'm enjoying this conversation. We're going to kind of organically do this as long as I feel like we need to, as the calls and everything and the text come in, just the reaction to the Hein Bloom press conference. We got lots of time, so we'll continue that. So Friday, looking forward to having more fun, spirited conversations. Appreciate everybody, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me. Definitely appreciate everybody getting in here with the calls and the texts and the tweets and everything. Our good friend Jen Cease is here. She's going to be up just after the 8 o'clock news with City Spotlight. I couldn't remember the name of your show earlier, but it came to me. me.
Well, last year we called it something different.
I know.
So when we keep changing the name, I can't either.
What's coming up on the program tonight?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. We're going to visit with a young lady named Hope Berkey. I'm going to find out if she's related to Roman Berkey. She's actually a staunch City fan that's in Wisconsin. She's created her own little show called The Berkey Breakdown.
Huh. We're at in Wisconsin.
I think Madison.
Okay.
But I'm going to find out more. Kind of watching her on socials, and I'm just so impressed by somebody being brave enough to do that at such a young age. We'll talk to Dale, as we always do. The player profile is Mekhi Joyner. So he's having himself a time. He's running for the Golden Boot in MLS Next Pro. And then we'll finish out with Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, talking all things soccer.
For people in Wisconsin, there's an MLS team in Minnesota, right? Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to think, are we the closest non-Chicago team to people in Wisconsin?
No, Minnesotans
Minnesota's closer.
They're very passionate fan base. Yeah.
Well,
because we got Devin Padelford and Sangmin from there.
If you are in Wisconsin and you have an anti-Chicago bias and an anti-Minnesota bias, then St. Louis would probably be the closest after that.
So, yeah, I'm going to find out how that all came down.
That's interesting.
You got to know about the last name, so I'm going to ask.
Okay, very good. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get the 8 o'clock news with Michael Calhoun, and then Jen will be with you talking all things soccer for the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us tonight. That's just about going to do it for the program, and we'll be back with you tomorrow for a half hour. Well, first for the rush hour at 5 o'clock, and then a half hour of Sports Open Line tomorrow night leading to Thursday Night Football here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.